You have not really slept in days. Everything tastes bland and you have no energy. Finally, your girlfriends, Becky, Rochelle, and Charlene, come over and give you a makeover because you've had such a hard time with Dylan being deployed. He's not going to see any action, but you just miss him, and he's in San Diego, and all those women are trash. Suddenly, Charlene says, why don't we go to the club and catch ourselves some fuck buddies? You say no thanks, and Charlene goes her way to have another sex-filled romp with some Neanderthal that's going to breathe on her like a dog when it's hot outside. You, Rochelle, and Becky curl up on the couch and watch a little 10 Things I Hate About You. You feel better because Dylan texts you and you go to sleep. The next morning, Charlene is on your couch with a man with a thick Eastern European accent in a tracksuit. He says, I make coffee from regular beans. This week, rom-coms.
What? I make coffee from regular beans?
Hal, you're good with words. You know that, man?
I think the gym is dumb.
Did Rachel walk in the room? Of course I've eaten a Baconator.
Man, if you ain't doing CrossFit, you can get CrossFit.
You're right. A long burger's not the worst idea I've ever heard.
That's your sitcom right there as a Mr. Fix-It-All who just can't fix his heart.
We will not be defending Atlantic City.
No accounting for taste. If it's something that somebody loves, let's try and celebrate it instead of shitting on it.
And we're back. Or we're here.
Oh, hello.
Hey, how are you, my little kitty cat?
Oh, meow, meow, Shane. Let's talk.
Romance?
That is also funny. Romantic comedies. Not a regular comedy. Comedy that makes you feel something.
I cannot wait.
What, Shane, how do you feel about romantic comedy? Let's just get right into it. That's what we're talking about.
Buddy. I love them, and I think they've done nothing but set an unrealistic expectation on me for love since I was in high school, but I love them. I have done romantic comedy-inspired things in my own life.
Really? Serenades? What have you
done? Yes, I have done a serenade.
Have you really?
Yeah. Didn't go great.
What did you sing?
It was...
Which ethnic half of you serenaded? The Irish half or the Mexican half?
Well, first of all, it wasn't original.
Was it mariachi or just bagpipes?
That's Scottish, you fucking prick.
Same
noisemaker. I played the guitar, I'll have you know, Kyle. And I sing her an original. And
wow.
Then she just got up and hugged me, which meant... I knew right away that she did not feel the same way.
Because she knew she could hug you and have a safe distance with the guitar between you guys. So there wouldn't be too much physical contact to give you the right wrong impression.
Well, you know, like...
It's like the prison fist bump through the glass.
Of my heart.
Oh, Shane, an original? It's adorable.
Yeah, it was pretty sweet. Thanks. Her and I are still friends. We had sex after she got divorced. It was cool. That's my romance. My romantic comedy is everything is falling apart, and then we sleep together.
The serenade was before she got married?
Yes. That was high school.
Oh, okay. Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's bold, man. I didn't know anybody that would do that.
I love huge romantic gestures, though.
I like them on paper when other people, I feel like I never had the courage to do it. My buddy once left a note and pretended he hit a woman's car that he thought was attractive and then left his phone number and she called him and then had to be like, I was lying. I just wanted to meet you. She's like, wow, that's a terrible thing you did. Well, yeah, I might have been.
That's pretty scummy. That's like a grist.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But that's okay.
Good for her for calling it though.
Yeah, but you talk about unrealistic expectations, and it's like being a comedian where it's like bold moves are what pay off, and people
you don't
just
do what
hear
everything
about,
else does. Yeah,
yeah. Everybody hears about their grandparents, like he got on the bus and just picked me up and took me off the bus, and we've been together ever since then. I'm like, well, that's kidnapping.
Yeah, that's a little. There's and a weird.
Yeah, that's how our grandparents did. I'm like, that would be wildly incorrect. nowadays.
Yeah. I would love to see someone try and pull that off now. Or I wouldn't love it, but you get what I'm saying.
Well, they do. And then the public acts up. Like, what if that's somebody's bold romantic gesture? And then the public acts up and like tases and pepper sprays the guy.
I don't know. Do you have a favorite rom-com? And is it because of the romance or because of the comedy? Or which one do you think it does both of those elements both, I guess?
You know, I was in high school in the mid-90s. I graduated in 95.
Okay.
I still think Can't Hardly Wait is not only, like, I think it's a romantic comedy, but it's also like that genre of teen party movie.
Yeah.
But I think that movie is just excellent through and through.
I think the jokes in it are fantastic.
The jokes in it are great. Everybody who's in it.
Anybody Seth, order a yeah. love burger well done? That's like my favorite.
The band, the Charlie Corso nerdy guy.
Yeah.
Getting the comeuppance. Like,
when he jumps up with the mic? Yeah. Oh, that's the best. Yeah.
Seth Green is like
the white dude
trying to make up. Yeah, yeah. The white dude trying to be a rat. Like, that movie, I think, is a classic film. That doesn't, like, it gets its credit, but not like everybody's like, oh, Wayne's World was for like, but like, Can't Hardly Wait of that.
It's
genre
not in the pantheon of rom coms, though. Like, it's not, I don't think people would throw it in the top 10.
Yeah, I'm trying to think. I'll throw a when Harry Met Sally in there.
I love it.
That great one. I mean, talk about unrealistic expectations. Just a Billy Crystal
and Meg Ryan, young Meg Ryan.
Billy Crystal as the can't get enough of this fucking goblin.
He is like, there's that scene in it where they're like throwing a rug out in his apartment, and I think he's a writer or something in it, and it's like a 10,000 square foot New York loft. It's like, how does anybody even afford something like
oh yeah,
are you part of the Murdoch family?
Like, yeah, you really gotta like go like ignore a lot of details whenever, like, when, like, just the idea of like the show Friends being like, oh, you guys just all have these big places even though you work in a coffee shop. I'll suspension of disbelief.
But that's like the point of it is escape, right? They're not supposed to be realistic movies. I always find it's like nobody has a normal job in these films.
No, especially if they're adults. They're always written from,
like,
I feel like they always have some roots in like a Woody Allen-esque scenario. Say what you will about Woody Allen's, but it's always like, I'm a guy who's this guy and also hot chicks. I always am juggling all these hot dames, but sweaty palms.
Yeah, that's it. It's just, I always thought, like, it's very strange, like, in the movies that no one in them can have a normal job and not be a depressed schlep. And these are, you know, like, there's not so, like, there's this thing of like if he works at a shoe store, he's the most sad son of a bitch that's ever lived. It's like,
well, then what if a guy's happy? The chances are he's not. Why are you going to feel bad for him if you can't find love? He's like, I'm all right. You got to feel sorry for the person searching for love. I mean, Love Actually.
Never seen it.
It's not a good movie. And I will watch it every time it's on television.
Really?
And it's one of those, like, it's safe. It's a safe, feel-good movie.
You don't want to put any work into it.
It's got a thousand different storylines going on, and it's Love Actually, as opposed to Love Theoretically, which I guess is what all the other ones. It's Love Actually, but oh man, it's got little kid with a romance. A crush, and so you feel like, oh, his little kid's got romance, and the dad's got romance. Everybody's. I remember seeing that in the theater with Matt Bronger cried in the theater. Charlene thinks it's the worst. Well, jump in, Charlene.
You're welcome. Opinion. Pipe up, lady.
Well, I hate rom-coms in general, but that one in particular, there is no redeeming character in that entire movie. Everybody sucks.
Even Keira Knightley.
Oh, I don't know about that. I don't know if she could do anything wrong.
Now that's the strong opinion that we need, because I, even like if they get dubbed chick flicks, but it's really just because they've been written from the viewpoint of a, I didn't see, like, like try to lose a guy in 10 days or whatever.
I love that
like,
one. That's a good one.
What's that? That one's what's she trying to do? Get rid of Matthew McConaughey
is a hunk and Kate Hudson is a babe and she works at a ladies magazine and he sells ads or whatever. You know, he's got one of those kind of jobs where he plays snooker in his office all day.
Okay.
But he's like, I'm a real ladies man. No one's ever not loved me. And she's a real like, I'm a sassy lady and I can lose this guy in 10 days. And that's my article I'm writing. So it all blows up in the end because he's got a bet that she'll fall in love with him with his buddies. And she is writing an article about how to lose a guy in 10 days. And she wants to be a serious journalist. It's great. I love it. There's a scene on the Brooklyn Bridge where he stops her on a motorcycle. There's a love fern in it, which I don't think is really a thing. She ruins his poker game. Ah,
a love fern. Did you say love fern?
Yeah.
As in a plant?
Yes.
A fern?
It's a fern that she calls a love fern. And she uses it to ruin his poker game as an excuse. It's a lot of fun, buddy. There's cucumber sandwiches. I don't know, realize how many times I've seen this film. It's quite a bit.
That is an odd way to sell it. There's a love fern and cucumber sandwiches. It really has all the things that make a rom-com great.
Jokes in it, buddy. Those are the sweet little jokes.
Listen, I don't have any particular issues. But let's take a break. And when we come back, we're going to go over the good and bad of rom-coms.
All right, everybody, I'm back. The kitty cat is back, and we're going to put a little milk in your saucers.
God damn it.
Now, Kyle, let me ask you a question.
Please do.
What do you think is the perfect romantic comedy? I'm sorry. that was a bad pun. Look, we're here right now. This is the part of the show where we talk about the bad stuff about romantic comedies, and I don't know if there is any, but we're going to talk about some of the tropes of them and how I excuse them to feel better about myself.
Okay.
Charlene was nice enough to put together another sheet that I actually read this week. And this is one of the actual tropes. It's like the easy joke that everybody would do it in an open mic. But like the article is 27 unrealistic romantic comedy tropes. And the first one is, and I also have thought this is, architects as far as the eye can see. Every guy worth dating is an architect, is what the article says. It's true. They all have these jobs that are kind of, romanticized. And then people don't know that it's basically just a lot of math.
I think it's also an easy one to be like, he's busy with what? Architecture. George Costanza summed it up by just trying to lie about it.
What was that episode?
He always wanted to be an architect. So he just started telling people he was an architect. Vandalay Industries, they call it. Or is it latex sales?
Yeah, remember that. The other one. I remember that because the first time he says, he goes, actually, I'm an architect. He says it kind of modestly.
Yeah. The safe bet.
So this goes back to my point from earlier, though. There's like a lot of unrealistic jobs, or not unrealistic, but there's no guy who works at Enterprise Rent-A-Car who's just a regional manager who could have a hard time with love.
In the subplots of like a Love Actually or something always has a few losers. There's always a few sandwich artists that get like a C storyline.
Okay. And then they
like some babe is like foot long tee hee. And then they run off. That's a very buried storyline.
I do think there's this thing of like, the guy's a loser in these rom-coms a lot of the time. And if he just meets the right woman, that'll fix him and he'll be an entirely wholly better person is one of the arcs in these kind of. Mm-hmm. And I think that's just a crazy way to think that that guy's going to be okay. Like what happens when she breaks up with him for a guy that is better than that guy? He's going to be so depressed. He's not going to make it through this. This isn't true love. She's just having a fling with some guy on the other side of town. This isn't good.
Yeah, nobody goes into the real like Jerry Maguire's mentally ill.
Yes.
Jerry Maguire needs to fix himself. He can't just Zellweger himself into a happy life.
But that's kind of like
That's one of the bad things, though, right? Like with the like, if love is like a partner is what will fix the rest of your life.
That the fact that that's the missing component of a happy life.
Yeah, all the time.
Or that's how movies. That's how some of them start. Is like, I don't need somebody to be happy. Look at me, and then they slowly reveal them eating a can of cold soup by themselves, going, I don't need somebody. I'm all right.
Which his buddy got married, and now he doesn't. Yeah.
I have been that person.
You like your life better now? I sure hope so. What is something?
Yeah. Overall, yeah.
Oh, man.
Hot food and a hand to hold, buddy. I'm a simple man. That's all I need.
That's a hell of a pitch. Also, the other thing is like, I'm never not in an airport in the movie. There's always like a, you know, someone's always buying a plane ticket last second for $2,000 to stop somebody from going from Sioux Falls or whatever. Boy,
yeah. Nobody talks about how 9/11 really squashed airport romance.
Yeah. They really, hey, but I guess it means Larry Miller gets to be a TSA agent every once in a while.
Larry Miller gets a day on every movie set. I think Larry Miller gets a day rate whenever he needs. We need a dick. Yeah. Larry Miller, what you up to?
I do think like, they would say one of the articles Charlie made was like, now we're out of the romantic age, the golden age of romantic comedies.
Yeah.
One of the articles she was. And I do think that most of it's just because of iPhones and the internet now. Like nothing is like the problems
they would have to show the problems.
Oh, are you talking about when they show text in movies and they don't look like real text?
Yeah, they pop up up on the screen.
It always takes me out of it. And I never even read what it says. I just get mad when I see it.
But they got to adapt, or you got to write all your movies set before cell phones. Cause cell phones did take the magic out of a lot of horror movies. I mean, it adds elements of like misinterpreted text. We've all done that. Listen, we're older now, Shane. Just cause we don't get it doesn't mean that's the world's moving on. Listen, Anne Hathaway finally stopped being a princess. I thought for a while, like she was an actual princess and that was her contract, was she could only make movies. Like I'm Princessa, the princessing princess. Like that was the only movie she could make.
It's just like Princess Diaries, Blood Princess.
She was only princesses.
It's always the same kind of, the other tropes that I have problems with are like Anne Hathaway is clearly a beautiful woman. Like striking to the eye, whatever, you know, like objectively beautiful. And then like when she's like a woman who can't understand that her sweater has a stain of corn chowder on it, I'm like, what the fuck is even happening? How come no one can see that this woman is not hideous?
Or like she's eating a sub sandwich.
Yeah.
Beautiful women can be regular. Like, or the idea that glasses can
that
be.
That was the she's all that trope. Yeah.
Yeah, we'll thwart anything as glasses. Yeah.
You can be so ugly it's camouflage with these, and they just
so,
no man will ever bother.
It worked for Superman. Why not apply it to hot chicks?
There was a one of the articles that Charlie made that just made me feel bad for someone.
Oh.
It's from The Atlantic. It goes, why are romantic comedies so bad now? The long decline from Katherine Hepburn to Katherine Heigl. They're really putting it on Katherine Heigl.
Why? What happened to her that she got?
I don't know.
Why did Hollywood turn on her?
Charlene, do you
she
know?
She wasn't. What yes. was she? 40-year-old virgin and stuff, or some? Yeah, other one?
She was. But Hollywood turned on her because the rumor was that she was a diva to work with and impossible on the set, and so nobody wanted to hire her because she was such a pain in the ass.
Oh well,
but every story of like Mel Gibson still blaming the Jews for the death of Jesus, and he's like, well, there's another Mel Gibson movie. Like, that's,
well, he's a guy.
Harrison Ford can do everything short crashing an airplane into the new Indiana Jones set and still getting roles.
Still a guy.
Yeah. I am pointing out the inequality here.
So what you're saying is the double standard is even off the screen. Interesting. Yeah.
People still agreeing to Maybe Katherine Heigl needs to be in a Woody Allen movie and then double down on it.
What is the last good rom-com you saw, buddy?
We were trying to catch up on stuff here. I think Rachel and I watched You've Got Mail or Sleepless. And that whole Tom Hanks and Meg Ryan before she, fucked it all up. I can only imagine if your value is placed on your looks.
Yeah.
And you're in TV and film. And then you are you start thinking that your looks are going and roles are dry. You're going to do what you can because people have put all this value on your looks. Again, an unfair thing done to women where it's like, oh, look at this. Harrison Ford got an earring and he's old and dignified. he's just a drunk pilot. With an earring. Yeah. He's always like high as shit on talk shows and he keeps crashing his airplanes. But you know, Antonio Banderas' wife, what's her name? Melanie Griffith.
Oh yeah. I love
her lips done. And everybody's like, oh, she ruined her face. And then you got to hear that you made an effort to try and stay in a game and then tabloid shit all over you.
Do you want to hear a sad story about a rom-com that this will probably give you a peer into my soul a bit.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So when I was 13, my first dog died and, we went and we took the day off school. Everyone was sad and we buried it cause we were kids. Right?
Yeah.
And then my dad was like, I'm taking you to the movies. And I was like, okay. And he goes, what do you guys want to see? And everybody's like, you guys can all see whatever you want. And I chose Milk Money with Nicolas Cage and Melanie Griffith. And then 20 minutes into it, I was just bawling my eyes out, a 13-year-old child. And then I just went and saw the new, the next Karate Kid and sat next to my dad.
What happened in Milk Money that was so sad?
Oh, it was more the dog, but in Milk Money, Nicolas Cage plays a cop and Melanie Griffith is the waitress and he goes, he can't give her a tip. So he goes, he holds up a lottery ticket. He goes, if I win, we're going to split this.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'll say this though. Romantic comedy. All my favorite movies still have, I still think Big Trouble in Little China is romantic. It has.
Oh, you better. You're going to have romance. To delete it. Okay, go on.
It's Kurt Russell versus
You call him by his proper name when you're talking about him in that movie. What do you call him?
Oh, Jack, old Jack. Fucking Jack. Don't call me out on this. Why can't
Jack Dalton?
No. Jack Burton.
Jack Burton. Yeah, that's
old Jack. I tell you, what old Jack Burton says in a time like this. But
I can see where you got some of your aesthetic now.
Oh, it's the best movie ever, but you can make that. It's there's funny parts and there's romance. Is it mostly an adventure? Sure. But if you want to, if you're in a romantic mood, you can watch almost any movie and extract that from it. I love Raising Arizona. Probably my other most favorite movie. In the end, it's about this guy loving his wife and wanting to have a family together and doing whatever they can to make that happen. It's the movie that it is, but if you want to watch it as a romantic comedy, you can.
That's a little. Those are great comedies, but you can't call them romantic comedies. That's not.
No, I'm not calling them that as a primary thing. But if that's what you like, I can watch anything and be. I'll cry at super weird shit, dude.
Dude, I bawled during Click, the Adam Sandler movie. I cried during Click.
I'll say that. That's okay. That might skew from, but crying at movies or anything, let it happen, man. It's good for you.
Yeah. And I guess that's what the rom-coms really are, is mostly they're just emotional manipulation. that's what they're there for.
Yeah it's like massaging it out of you. Like, come on, one. Go on, have one. I feel bad when it's a cheap cry, when it's like, oh, you're trying to make me cry. And I do cry. I'm like,
yeah,
this is just heart porn. That's all it is.
That's like that. I always said that show, This Is Us, is like just getting broken up with once a week. That's how it feels.
I think I tried to watch that and I was like, absolutely not.
Yeah. I don't know. Have you ever actually gone and seen a rom-com in a theater? Or do you just kind of I don't know if I've ever put the time into. go do.
I'm trying to think. It's been so long.
I always absorb them secondhand.
It was usually. No, my rom-com days were definitely like having cable and living alone where I'm like, all right, nobody's going to make fun of me for watching this and I don't want to do anything today. Yeah. You bet your ass we're settling into something. And I'm like, I would get red. I'm like, I'm going to have a cry. Like I would set, I would seek it out. Like I need,
they are good.
I just
got to
scrub it. Yeah. I got to scrub it out. You know,
there's like, that's like, they do do that. They make you like, I don't know what happens, but sometimes they just know how to pull the strings. It's like, have you ever done something so physical you cry? Like you're not even hurt, but like it's just a release of energy and like it's cathartic. Like
yeah, and it's not necessarily.
That's kind of what the rom coms are. A little like they do the same thing.
I'll sing in the car, and even if it's stupid, if it's like a very like soaring anthem type song.
I've spent so many hours with you in cars.
But if I'm singing, like really singing and going for it, and I'll just get overwhelmed by a good time that I'll cry.
What's the song that does that for you?
There's a lot of them. The Unbreak My Heart by Toni Braxton. No, not even sad one, Charlene. She's saying Unbreak My Heart by Toni Braxton.
Love me again.
Some Christian country singer that has a song about having a tough time and she just wants to have a smoke break, even though she doesn't smoke, and she wants to drink a cold beer, even though she doesn't drink. So it's still like a Christian song.
I love that.
But it has nothing to do with the song. It has nothing to do with the lyrics. It has to do with sonically how a song, like anthems, exactly. Yeah. Like, uplifting song. The reason like Black Church is so much better than any kind of white church, like Catholic church, like Christ has died. Oh, yeah.
That's
Christ,
a very like, then, Benedictine yeah, kind
of
like.
Yeah. You see a video of like Black Church and it's uplifting and celebratory as should be.
Yeah. Cause Catholicism. Yeah. That's meant to weigh on you in a different way.
Yeah. Like, how are you calling this praise? This is like, I would if you sang this at my funeral, I would come back from the dead to shut you up is how boring that music is. And then Black Church is just, this is praise. This is celebratory. And it's supposed to make you feel.
Evoke something good out of you. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's a little off topic of the romantic comedies, but yeah, I cry.
No, but I get it.
Break by whatever. Cassidy Upchurch or whatever whatever sort of Christian country name there is out there.
Amy Cardinals. These ones. Unbreak My Heart, Charlene?
Oh, I love that song. That's my car song. It's a great song.
Oh, really?
And you're just singing. Before He Cheats by Carrie Underwood. Like, those are perfect car songs.
Carrie Underwood might be the smoke break one.
Oh.
Yeah. I always get it in weird ways. And so
Carrie Underwood, it is Carrie Underwood. Yeah. Sorry.
I get it in weird ways. Like rom-coms will, oftentimes I'll laugh at the parts or like be sad at parts that aren't really like, they kind of exhaust me more than I am actually upset at the actual moment I'm crying. It's just like, Jesus, this poor woman has been through enough. She lost her job and her dad's real sick. Like I just, it's like, that's kind of how I cry in general. It's like, I can just
willful manipulation.
Yes. Yeah.
Like I'm going to let you do this to me right now.
Yeah.
I don't need a safe word. I can just turn it off if I don't want to deal with it, but I'm going to let you do this to me.
Yeah.
I've been having a hard time thinking of negative aspects.
I mean,
a lot of people,
I think there's like one of the things people say is and I guess this is true. I don't know. It's because I'm a piece of shit and I'm a bad ally. But it's really like pigeonholes women, I guess, is one of the things I always hear about it. That's like it marginalizes them. And yeah. I'll be honest. I didn't read that article, Charlene, because I wanted to still like rom-coms after this. And I didn't want. I'm tired of it getting taken away.
They're formulaic.
I
want to
watch Kate Hudson, you know, seduce a preacher or something.
I think my issue is that a lot of the big romantic gestures are actually kind of creepy and a little rapey. Even very like if a woman is doing it, like take Overboard, for example, like she kidnaps Kurt Russell and convinces. No,
he kidnaps her.
Oh, you're right. But kidnapping, either way.
Kidnapping is definitely a technique employed in like, well, I'll just make you love me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's bad. That is bad. Yeah. A lot of the
What are some of the other big ones that I like? Because I really like grand romantic gestures. They're just, I like the idea of taking a big swing and then hitting a home run or failing. It's like, well, it's not because I didn't try, which is a nice thing.
Did you serenade a woman when you were in high school because you saw it in a movie? Were you influenced by something?
I knew it
else?
Was a romantic thing people did.
Okay.
I can't cite a specific movie, but I'm sure.
John Cusack with the boombox.
Oh, man. Yeah, any John Cusack.
It was a Peter Gabriel song. Say Anything. Yep.
Say Anything. John Hughes movies. Yeah.
Yeah. Or even High Fidelity. It's kind of a romantic comedy, isn't it?
There's a great, I forget who somebody wrote, like, don't forget, these people are jerks. And it was like Tyler Durden. It was John Cusack from High Fidelity. It's like, these are bad people. These are not examples. Like all these dudes that use Tyler Durden as this, like, that's no, it's like, no, that's the guy's toxic masculinity, alter ego destroying his life. John Cusack is going like, here's how horribly I've treated all these women in my life.
Yeah.
And I probably don't deserve the woman I get at the end anyway, because I'm not nice.
Like he's so vapid in that fucking film. Like that's the other, like he's like, I guess that point of that movie is that he's trying to like not be, he's always looking for something else. Right. Yeah. You always think there's something better out there. And then, like how cool that woman, isn't it? When she is at the end of that film, when she goes, what are you doing? He goes, oh, I'm making a mixtape for that journalist from The Reader. And she just rolls her eyes and he screams, when is this going to stop?
Like, yeah. How is that realistic? Oh, this woman that you fought to get back and you're still pulling some stuff like that. And the most offensive part of that movie, and Bronger pointed it out, is that John Cusack, being from Chicago, allowed the actress that's from the Chicago Reader to pronounce the double door. Oh, I saw you DJ at the double door. It's the double door. And he allowed that line read, which is upsettingly incorrect to anybody from Chicago that enjoyed
music.
It's
just double door, not the double door.
It's like, it's like if somebody was talking about Texas, like, Alamo.
This is so you, by the way. This is so you to get upset about a regional Chicago reference in a rom-com.
Ask anybody from Chicago if like that pronunciation does not bother them.
Double door.
From Texas. If I kept calling the Alamo the Alamo, what would you like not? Would your fucking butthole like, no.
Yeah, I guess I get it. Yeah. Okay. It's an institution.
It is. It was. I think it's a fucking Gap now, but whatever.
All could have been saved. Yeah, I don't. Yeah. I guess that. Here's the thing of that movie, though. I'm 39 and I'm still single. Jesus. Whatever. I'm hanging on by a thread. But the part where he is talking about, like, I don't know if you're not supposed to like, I guess it's how you interpret it, really, but like how you're not supposed to like. How he is, like, I don't think he likes how he is in that film.
Yeah.
In High Fidelity. So I completely resonate with this. Like, I got to get over this and start changing my ways before it's too late. And all I have is a record store. I don't know.
He's an adult loser, which is relatable for dudes watching romantic comedies.
Yes.
Finally, not an architect. Finally, just a guy with a dead end business.
With a shitty record store.
I mean, I don't think the record store is shitty, but like the snobs. And I think that was a more relatable thing. I would say positive things from rom-coms. I think they can just be an uplifting segment of your day or night. If you watch it, you're a lonely guy. Like, hey, look at that. That instilled me with some hope. I'm not going to go make these gestures towards somebody, but this made me feel better.
I like
myself.
That they're easy to watch. They're like, they're very consumable. They're empty calories. That's all I want them to be.
Yeah.
I want a snack of entertainment, and this is the Flamin' Hot Cheetos of entertainment.
Yeah, don't use it as a map to your own romantic life.
Yeah.
Don't do that.
Which I think is like a lot of the reason people have hate for these things. Is like, this is ridiculous. People aren't actually like this. It's like, yeah, I know. We live in Fort Worth, Texas. Like, everything here sucks.
Yeah.
So I guess that's why one of the main gripes I'm saying that I really don't give a shit about is because I'm not taking it for more than it's worth a lot of the time.
Or that, yeah, or just like the basic boring chick flicks, man. These chicks get ideas from it. Oh, really? Are you gonna drive your fucking Corvette from one skyscraper to another because you just watched Fast and Furious? No, then let anybody who wants to have this have it.
Yeah,
you know?
Agreed.
Well, speaking of people with unrealistic expectations, we're going to get to our callers right after this. And we're back. This is No Accounting for Taste, and today me and Kyle are discussing rom-coms and how I think we're both on the same. There's not a lot of debate between us today on it.
Romantic comedies.
I think we're both enjoy them and take them in for what they're supposed to be.
I get mad at when they're uncreative. That's when I get mad at when they're so formulaic. I'm like, oh, this is just really, you really just churned out something lazy. You could still make a romantic comedy interesting and unique. It doesn't have to just be.
There can be funny jokes in them. Yeah.
And
there
yeah, exactly.
I did like Apatow's renaissance of romantic comedy, or his like world of them, like the Jason Segel ones.
This is 40 or the, what's the, when he goes to
Sarah Marshall. Sarah Marshall. Yeah. Those are, I mean, like, of course there's a lot of fart jokes in those kind of movies. And that's where I,
they were really like signed. Dude. Yeah. They were like dude romantic comedies.
Yeah. Which is great. Which I loved. Let's see what you guys think about
romantic comedies. I think we should call that whole genre as bromantic comedies.
Here's our first caller. And I think he kind of agrees with you on the, when it's not creative piece. Here we go.
Hi, Shane Torres and Kyle Kinane. This is Michael Reyes from the DFW area.
I know him.
I want to think about rom-coms. I think they're a little too formulaic and predictable to be legendarily funny, except for maybe When Harry Met Sally, the funniest one that I can think of.
Michael.
Okay.
I agree. There's like a lot of that formulaic, like the kind of churn them out. But you're just focusing on the bad version of something, because there are ones that are, I guess they all have a lot of the same components, but they can be different in a funny version of what it is, if that makes sense. And also, I know that guy, and the last time I saw him, we were in Austin, and he goes, hey, it's snowing in the bathroom if you want to come in there. So he's not
Rat the dude out.
His message did go on for another minute while he tried to figure out how to hang up the phone. So,
oh well, story checks out, Shane.
He's a good guy. I like my gray.
Okay, here's our next one.
Hi, so I'm calling about the rom-com thing.
Okay.
I mean, they're really take it or leave it for me. I think it depends where I am at in my life. Yeah, it's like, you know, kind of where I am in terms of like, if I'm in a relationship, you know, I think that's going to dictate like the way that I feel about the movie, because I'm just going to project whatever the shit that I'm dealing with is onto the movie.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to use that, mm-hmm. right? To like try to like understand myself a little bit better.
Thank you.
And understand my place in that sort of thing. So I get real cheese balls, you know, I get real cheese balls. Anyway, I think that's it for me.
I can't agree with this guy more.
I think he's leaning. I know he means like he gets real corny about stuff, but I like that. In my head, it's like I get the good snacks for when I'm watching this. I get cheese balls made with real cheese.
That is the kind of thing, though. It's like there's like a little bit of like ritualism, isn't it? You always get shitty food, you know, like. You know, it's not like a football game or something where you drink beer and like eat pretzels. You know, like you're like, I have mac and cheese and soda.
Comfort food.
Yeah.
I want to feel better. I'm doing this to feel better. But these are right about being like, in a weird place in your life.
For sure. Yeah.
Good one. Good call.
I saw that movie, 5-Year Engagement, after I went through a really bad breakup.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, it ain't so bad. It worked out for them. And I was still living in Portland at the time. And Charlie, you might remember this. And then I was walking back over the river and some guy had just thrown himself off the bridge and they were pulling him out of the water. And I was like, this is fucking horrible. It just ruined me. Everything got doused in like 2 seconds.
This guy didn't watch 5 Year Engagement.
No, he did. They just it was awful. That's really ruined that really sweet Jason Segel movie.
Oh man, I think if you're ever like in a place like don't have a bridge you need to cross to go home. That's just wow. Really,
I was going for a walk.
Sure. That's what that guy was doing all right. At first.
Double door.
Okay. Here's our next guy.
All right, Charlotte.
This is Saul. He's got a good one.
All right.
Hey, this is Saul from Salt Lake, man. Rom-coms.
Saul from Salt Lake.
About rom-coms. They're the best. Romedy, comedy. Right. What's not to love? When Harry Met Sally, .. The best rom-com there is. Love you guys. Have a nice day. Bye.
All right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's just a sunny attitude about it.
Take It or Leave It, When Harry Met Sally is kind of the, I think that was the stamp for anybody my age and older.
Well, it's so great. It's legitimately a great, you know, and has one of the most iconic scenes in the diner or in Katz's.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And then, it's, I think a lot of people's problem with these things is like some of them are horse shit, but a lot of them are horse shit. But the good ones are actually good. And that, like it's like the NBA. There's like 5 good players and then everybody else is just kind of good enough to be there.
Yeah, that's good. I mean, I'm glad I like hearing a lot of dudes going, yeah, romantic comedies are great. I'm glad that we're hearing that from the callers. Not that I'm surprised, but OK.
Interestingly enough, there were no female callers this week.
It really probably just sounded like I was chumming the water or something. When I asked.
Oh, yeah.
But we did get a good text message, and here it is. They're great for hangover naps because your wife, boyfriend, girlfriend, husband won't question your answer to their question when you just blurt it out without opening your eyes because they're all the same.
So
she said, like, it doesn't matter. There's not, because it's not specific. You can just pick one.
That's right.
Yeah, that goes back to the consumable thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, just I will lay on a couch and just watch Julia Stiles for an hour and a half. That sounds.
She lives across the street. She doesn't close her blinds. That's how we do it.
It's New York, baby. We get. Yeah, that does sound better.
So there's one last call, and then there's a really lengthy text message. What do you guys think? What do you want to do?
Let's listen to that one.
Okay.
Romantic comedy. Where do I start? Gotta love a good rom-com. You know, Fools Rush In, Matthew Perry, Selma Hayek, pretty much got me through high school. You need to go through some tissues. You need to have a laugh, good laugh, good cry. I'm all in. Big rom-com guy. Big rom-com guy.
I love it.
Overwhelming support for rom-com. Also, yeah, I forgot about that movie. I think I saw that movie in the theater and was entertained.
Matthew Perry and Selma Hayek?
Yeah.
I think he's an architect in that, too.
It was some sort of like, architect or like real estate investor. It was.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Big, I saw a large gesture on the Hoover Dam. Again, what would be considered a terrorist.
I love it.
Move.
Kyle, you got to make some large romantic gestures in your life.
I live in fucking Beaverton, Oregon, in my girlfriend's the room where her mom died. How much more romantic do you want me to be?
Jesus Christ. That's pretty romantic.
Yeah, I didn't tell you that. She's like, do you want to take this room? I'm like, oh, the smallest bedroom in the house where your mom died? Yeah, I guess that can be my office. No offense.
Yeah, I think that is. I guess that is. You know what? That's actually pretty good. Like, practicality can be romantic. Like, I guess.
I hope you're not flashing an SD card that should be in the camera right now.
No, I got bunches of them now on.
Okay.
I just picked it up. Don't worry about what I'm doing over here. Let's focus on you when you're fixing your shit.
I don't know what kind of large gesture. Like,
I love a big gesture. To me, it's like, I don't know. I like showing it all. I think it's great. Yeah. Impressing everyone. Right. I will say this, the opposite side of a big gesture is, my buddy works at Rockefeller Center here, and when they have the ice skating there, you know, like they always show it on TV. He said they average 25 proposals a day at the ice skating rink.
Yeah, and it, like that's like the maybe that's the idea where rom-coms get bad. Like you just think this is a romantic thing because it's so cliche.
Yeah, that makes sense. Like Jumbotrons.
Yeah,
like does the girl even give a shit about a baseball? And like this is where you do.
Maybe, but yeah, I know what you mean. I agree. Like there's they're cliche, and like rom-coms can be very cliche.
I remember somebody wanted to propose at a show that I was with. It was Bert Kreischer, Nate Bargatze, Sal Volcano, and I were doing like this tour, and a dude wanted to propose to his girlfriend, and Bert's all like, "Yeah, we'll make it like a surprise at the end." I'm like, "This woman does not want like
this." Yeah,
fucking just like jokes about butt fucking and farts, and then anyway, here's the big. Let's make sure we do it in front of people. And like, I hope they're still happy and good for them. I've witnessed so many awkward. I remember I was on a double date on Valentine's Day at a Chicago Wolves game. So they're the minor league hockey team and they lost.
You really do know how to.
Yeah. And they lost. And this dude, it wasn't at halftime. It was after the game ended and they lost. That he went to propose, and it's just drunk minor league hockey fans walking out going, "Don't do it, bro. It's not worth it." Like thinking it's this gesture. I'm like, and then the girl I was with, who I was not going to be with for long, looked at me like, "What a thing." And I'm like, "This is the dumbest shit I've ever seen in my life. Get me the fuck out of here."
I've had that happen at two shows where the club owner or managers come up to me and be like, "Hey, we got somebody who wants to propose tonight."
Yeah, and absolutely not.
I tell him, yeah, but I just don't want to step on anybody else's love. I'm worried what it'll do to me in the ether. Like I'm getting close to being dangerously close to being the man who's a friend of a friend at a Thanksgiving every year. And I'm trying to put out good juju, if that makes sense.
I think that is good juju to be like, you do not want to propose at a comedy. You don't make it between you. Don't, if you know the answer already, okay, but if you don't, do not do this in public. It's almost like you're creating a hostage situation. Like,
yes, I
asked you to marry me. Do you really want to embarrass us both by saying no in front of all these people? I cringe every time.
I completely agree about a public proposal. Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
Oh,
yeah. It makes me uncomfortable thinking about it.
Well, Charlene, let's get to this text message, and then Kyle and I can go cry in our tubs.
Okay, here we go. It's pretty long, so strap in, boys. I don't know what this person's name is, but here we go. I guess it could be a girl, but I don't think so. Here we go. I wasn't exposed to rom-coms from anyone in my life early on because my mom was obsessed with the History Channel and films that were History Channel adjacent, like Gone with the Wind. And my dad loved reality TV. Until I was a teenager, I associated romance with the closest thing I knew to romantic comedies, which was The Muppets and cartoons. As such, I felt love involved over-dramatized acts of love, rabbits in drag, bashful male characters offering flowers, and someone being the chaser and the chaste. That is, until I was 15. I had insomnia, and the only thing on HBO was Bridget Jones's Diary, which would shift how I understood romance. I saw a goofball woman navigating her 30s, an entirely foreign concept to an overweight 15-year-old girl. Oh, she is a girl. Who was a virgin with severe anxiety growing up in Southern California. I soaked the film up. Honestly, it was the first film that I watched that didn't have a musical interlude accompany a monologue about love. Love and romance felt foreign and complex to me at that age. Bridget Jones somehow felt relatable and actually made love seem fun. Like, actually fun. Rowboats, smoking cigarettes, making asses of yourself fun. I'm 31 now, and while I've seen some romantic comedies here and there, I honestly still don't really watch them unless someone else shows them to me. But from time to time, I'll watch Bridget Jones' Diary and think of all the times love has filled my life with heartache, confusion, and how I chose to find love within myself and learn to live for myself as I neared 30. Kind of like Bridget. Still haven't found a snow-filled street kiss in my underwear with someone who has bought me a diary to start a new chapter, but There's still time.
That's a
hell of a text is what I'm going to say.
We tried to watch Bridget Jones's Diary. It wasn't taken for me, but I like that what this individual got from it was like maybe the romance is for yourself through all of it.
Yeah. I like how applicable it was to her. Like she like really took a lot out of it instead of just enjoying it. And then also, maybe the Muppets are the only ones doing romance right. There's a musical interlude and a monologue about love. Like, that's way better than half this fucking shit in these rom-coms.
Muppets did a lot of things right.
Yes, they did. Although, this has been no accounting for taste.
Miss Piggy's Pursuit of Kermit can be seen as a much-needed reversal of roles as far as who is a predator and who is a victim.
And then I don't know. I like that she took it and it was like very much like she has won. You know, like some people don't like country music, but they like a country song. What was it called? Smoke Break?
Smoke Break by Carrie Underwood. How long before the people who are like trying to quote unquote cancel Pepe Le Pew and then the conservatives go, well, then we need to cancel Miss Piggy because she's a female. She pursued Kermit in a creepy manner. Like I'm waiting for some dipshit.
I think conservatives are fine with it because Pepe Le Pew is French. So
that's true. Yeah.
Yeah. They got another reason to hate him, I guess.
But have you seen Bridget Jones's Diary, Shane?
I have not. And it's one of those, I really feel like I'm overexposed to a lot of romantic comedies, but not to good ones. Like not to like classic ones, I guess. Like I would say the classic one I know is When Harry Met Sally. Then the other ones, I don't know Love Actually or any of the other ones.
Charlene, you seen?
Have seen Bridget Jones's Diary.
Do you agree with this assessment?
I would agree with this assessment. Yeah, I think she hit the nail on the head there.
Okay.
All right.
Yeah, I had to determine, like, did I not like the movie because I'm, like, older and past it? Is it because I'm a dude? Is it because it was Renee Zellweger being British and it took me out of it?
Yeah, because she's not British, right?
No.
No, yeah. She's not. Isn't she from like Texas or something? Anyway.
Renee sounds like is a very Texas name.
I mean, I think it's relatable because she is completely out of control. Like every single thing in her life is a disaster. It's a disaster. And for whatever reason, the guy who completely has his life together is enamored by her. It makes no sense.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that is a cliche, the opposites attract thing in all of the rom-coms. That's like a thing a lot. Yeah. Well, I think really it's overwhelmingly more pro rom-com than I thought out there.
In summation, yeah, really nobody.
I really thought we'd get a little more shit from people on this.
But we softballed ourselves. We soft cheeseballed ourselves.
You thought they were snacks. I think we did. I guess that's kind of nice to hear that there's people in agreement on something, actually. So I'm going to take it. I think we love rom-coms on this show.
Yeah, I don't think we were I don't think we were like appealing to dudes with, chick flicks, bunch fucking stupid. I didn't think we were going to get that, but I thought we'd get a little bit of blowback, but just a lot of people that are all right with it.
Yeah, the one guy I knew, just a little indifferent, more so than anything. Yeah. All right. Well, next week on Accounting for Taste, we're talking about non-fungible tokens and how they're bad for the environment.